So, and moments where we get to test our own sense of calm and peace. So, I'm just going to take a deep breath right now. I have to say, I like the little wee stick figure cartoon that's on the insert this Sunday. It's very fitting. One of them using what they have to try and build a bridge, to reach out, to connect. And the other one using the very same thing as a potential weapon and a means of protection to try and keep the other at a distance. And I want to thank Sarah for selecting that. Good job. A plus. Just this week, I was talking about having people within arm's reach. When they're close enough to hug you, they're also close enough to hit you. Sometimes both. It is indeed the risk and the potential price of human proximity, of letting people get close to us within arm's reach. Will you join me now in a word of prayer? Loving Spirit, Holy One, help us to find you, to know you, to love you, and to love you by loving others, to live beyond our fears, to be our best self, to be a good and fitting vessel for your presence in this world, so that we may show others what they may be. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be wonderful and beautiful in your sight. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. In this, the seventh week of Epiphany, and following the way of the Magi as they left Bethlehem and journeyed homeward another way, so we have been reflecting on the many ways we might continue our own journey home to ourself, our true self, our authentic self, our best self, by another way. Now, we began at the beginning with another way finding yourself. Are you being you? We continued with another way, move on, and the fact that sometimes another way simply means moving on, leaving, moving through the crowd, and we reflected on that through the courage of a 15-year-old African-American young woman, Elizabeth Eckford, one of the Little Rock Nine, walking to school in 1957 through a crowd of angry white people as they hurled hate, threats, and spit at her. She kept on walking, head held high, walking with such courage and determination that she continues to inspire me to this day. Whenever I have difficulties moving on, I look at this. Next, another way, this way or that way, when we have a choice to make, the choices that we make even occupationally and maybe even especially occupationally with Parker Palmer's Let Your Life Speak, listening to the voice of vocation, is the life that you are living the life that wants to live through you? And we looked at the fishermen that Jesus picked up by the sea, the ones that he presented with a very drastic career change. So whenever you feel like you may be confronted with a drastic career change, think about that. Fishing, disciple. Next, we looked at another way, a different perspective, and how finding another way sometimes simply means shifting your perspective, shifting the perspective of your social location, a different way of looking at the very same thing, or a way of paying closer attention to that which you see, giving it your complete attention, and understanding what got the attention of Jesus, what Jesus paid attention to, economic disparity, unfairness, hypocrisy, and what should get our attention as well. Today, as we near the end of our Epiphany journey next Sunday and we begin to approach Lent, we reflect on the tough stuff, the hard way. You see, whenever people say there is no other way, there's always another way. It's just that they may not like it very much. They may not want to hear it, and they may close their ears and their hearts to another way. Now, if we are serious about our religion, we need to practice it. Not just here within these walls. Although here, this is our learning space. This is our proving grounds, for it is here that we do indeed begin to learn to practice what we preach. We can't do it here, then we will have trouble doing it anywhere. Now, whenever people come together, edges rub. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about. People unwittingly brush up against old wounds and sensitive places and cause hurt and cause pain. And sometimes the wounding does not cease. Well, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. Sometimes it happens reflexively without even thinking. We give back what we get. You've heard me say it before. If you wave to a stranger on the highway, you'll often get a wave back. However, if you wave to a stranger using only one finger, you will invariably get that back as well. At the very least, sometimes more. Because that kind of pain quickly leads to escalation. For goodness sake, even the president of our country said, if you hit me, I will hit you back 10 times harder. It is hard to give kindness in the face of meanness. It's hard to give kindness in the face of meanness. It takes great strength. Because kindness is not the reflexive reaction that we experience. And sadly, it may not even be the admired way these days. But it is indeed the hard way. Any other path we take, well, it's how wars begin. It's the same with coworkers, with neighbors, and with nations. And it is here within these walls, this beloved community, that we begin to learn and practice what we preach. That kindness begets kindness. Generosity begets generosity. That compassion softens the heart. That love leads to love. It is here that we learn not to let people bring out the worst in us, but the best in us. Yes, there's discomfort sometimes. There's awkwardness. But that's all a part of human interaction, I promise you, in the human condition. And this space here, it's a microcosm of humanity. These ways, these hard ways that we heard in our reading this morning seem counterintuitive, and they are not our first instinct. But we need to learn them and learn to trust them here within our community. The hardest and most challenging thing that I deal with are people who find their feelings hurt in church in some way and then leave as a result. That is taking the pain and then taking the pain with them, without learning the lesson of healing. The lesson of healing that community has to teach. Once we begin to learn and practice what we preach here, we take our lessons learned out beyond these walls. In our work, in our day-to-day interactions, our relationships, in our politics, even one would hope, in traffic. In the great crowded community of automobiles. That's hard. The hard way is invariably the path that eventually leads to the greatest sense of peace. Ken Keyes said, more suffering comes into this world by people taking offense than by people intending to give offense. Amen. Amen. For those who feel offended often and reflexively seek to hurt back, causing the other to become defensive, which in turn in itself often creates a whole new offense. Humans are sensitive beings, sometimes too sensitive in some of the worst ways. We are especially sensitive in all of the places around our wounds. Our feelings of inadequacy, our feelings of vulnerability, our resistance to change, our sense of having to control everything around us. Whatever the wound is, the places around our wounds are the most sensitive places. And it is sometimes only by following that pain can we even begin to bring ourselves to places of healing. This begins to bring ourselves onto the path of nonviolence, recognizing the subtle violence that we do to ourselves, our souls, our spirits, our hearts, our lives, with our own hate, with our own fear, with our own meanness, and our sense of discomfort, our complete lack of compassion, and our absolute failure to experience or offer any sense of human kindness. It all begins here. And it all begins here. Right here. And it's hard. And yet, in the way of the universe that is rife with paradox, it is indeed ultimately the path of least resistance. That much I promise you. Wisdom teachers often sing in harmony with each other. Wisdom attributed to the Chinese philosopher Lao Tse, 6th century BC in the Tao Te Ching, offered this poem. Nothing in the world is as soft and yielding as water. Yet for dissolving the hard and the inflexible, nothing can surpass it. The soft overcomes the hard. The gentle overcomes the rigid. Everyone knows this is true, but few can put it into practice. It's hard. It is hard. And yet, if we are to take our religion seriously, we have to practice it. It all begins here, and it all begins here. Now, I think of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who in the beginning had armed men surrounding his house. There were so many guns in his house that a reporter once sat on a loaded gun. One of his friends boasted of having a loaded shotgun in every corner. Martin even applied for a concealed carry permit. He was turned down. All of this happened until Bayard Rustin, a gay Quaker advisor to Dr. King, said, Martin, what are you doing? Violence begets violence. Fear begets fear. Discomfort begets discomfort. This movement has to move forward another way, fearlessly, without fear. There's always another way. Martin began in his own home, and he moved outward and eventually came to say that the choice is not between violence and nonviolence, but between nonviolence and non-existence. Martin moved a people, and he is still moving us to this day. For the path and the way that we are on these days leads to our own destruction. Now, there are some people upon which their entire theology is based as being favored by God above all. But if we begin to raise ourselves above others, if we begin to behave and believe as an only child most favored above all, then we do so at the expense of our siblings, those around us. Beginning to see and understand that the broad love of God embraces all, that's the hard way. We don't want to let go of our most favored human status. But we have to, and that's hard. But it is the way we are called to follow. It is the star that we are called to follow. It is the path of the one whose path we are called to follow. For the path and the way that we are on today leads to our own destruction, not simply the destruction of one political party or another, one ideology or another, one people or another, one system or another, one nation or another, but all of us. all of us. Once we begin to see each other as either friend or enemy, or frenemy, then we have begun the subtle process of separation. The process that divides, a process that may be reflexive and initially may seem to be the easy way to live and believe. But I promise you this, it does not end well. It does not end well. It is the way of death and ultimately leads to our own demise. All of us. Because as Martin said, we are all indeed caught in an inescapable web of mutuality, bound together in a single garment of destiny. We have to all make it. And the path that appears to be the hard way, that is the hard way, is actually and eventually the path of least resistance. And the fate of our future will be revealed in how we treat those that we regard as our enemies. And our fate will be determined by how we respond to injuries and offenses, whether intended, unintended, or even perceived. And our fate will be determined by how we seek to heal our wounds and how we practice what we say we believe. Because there is always another way. And the fate of our future will be revealed in how we treat those we regard as our enemies. For what we determine their fate to be will ultimately be our own. It will be so.